they murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, what do you think about that? The wild card weekend is over. What a great weekend for football, and especially an even better weekend if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, because they're moving on. They beat the Tennessee Titans. It was a fantastic weekend if you're a football fan. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm stoked. I'm elated. Stoked? I'm feeling all these emotions that I can't still after days after this win, man. I know it's, you know, it's time to move on to Buffalo, but we got to savor this one, man. This one was a long time coming. This title is pretty simple on this show, right, brother? Change the narrative. Not only change the narrative, but they changed the narrative. And that's what Lamar simply said all week, you know, oh, but this, oh, but that. Right before we just jumped on the show, I just on Instagram, on the Ravens Instagram, watching a minute video. It's awesome. It shows you, it's a collage of all the media naysayers. Lamar can't win a playoff game. Lamar can't do this, do this. The Ravens can't do that. And then they show the video of Lamar popping in and it says, I changed the narrative. And then you show the highlights of the Titans game and that's it. So get you amped up because, I mean, we talked about it right all week. Will the history of the Titans play into the game? And we kind of like, no, it doesn't, because – again, we alluded to 2012 Broncos, right? Broncos blew out the Ravens a month before. They got to go into Denver. Can they win the game? You know, Phil Simms was interviewed this weekend after the game was over and had his thoughts. And Phil Simms, he pretty much said the same kind of idea. He goes, I don't care if you're 0-5 against the team. You know, paraphrasing what he said, he goes, you know, when it's playoff time and it's just one and done, it's all out the door. I mean, the Ravens could have been 0-30 in their history in the Titans. I don't care. I mean, I know it's a crazy number, but that's it. And they changed the narrative. They find, dude, bro, I'm going to be bonkers all over the show today. So you have to keep me in check because I'm like, I don't know where to start. But let's just put it this way. Two narratives got squashed. The Ravens with Lamar Jackson and all, at the helmet offense came from behind a double-digit deficit. Remember, oh, Lamar can't win from behind. He gets rattled, and when they lose – Greg Roman and the Ravens offense just goes into a different mode and they get out of their element and Lamar can't win the big game. But the big game is the playoff game. When it's playoff time, Lamar was 0-2 and that was the narrative previously. Two things got squashed in one game. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it, man. That's it, man. What a glorious win. Like Harbaugh said, it was his favorite win, playoff win in his career. It's crazy. He's won Super Bowls. He's had Hall of Famers on his team. And this one, for all the fans and the players, this one was just – it was a release. It was that finally gotcha moment where now it's like you can't say nothing else. All Lamar has to do is win a championship. It's pretty much the only narrative he has unwritten and needs to change. It's pretty much now can you get the shiny thing at the end of the tournament, right? It's it. I mean, what – you got to feel excited for not only Baltimore, but just the players and everybody, man, a collective. They finally got that win. And dude, I didn't realize this after the win, man, first playoff win in 6 years.
And that's pretty wild. I didn't realize that either.
No. And when I was thinking about it, I'm like, I was there for that because the last playoff win was in a 2014 wild card game against Pittsburgh.
Right.
And then we lost in New England the following weekend. Which was that infamous two-time touchdown lead, and I was there for that too. So it was like kind of just reminiscing. And I didn't really realize that, and I'm like sitting there back and thinking. I'm like, you're right, man. First playoff win in 6 years, that's crazy. But we got it, baby. We got it.
And this was, like you said, this was a full team win. I mean, yes, this is awesome for Lamar. Can't take anything away from his game. He was able to prove not just one of the narratives, you know, wasn't just able to change one of them. He changed two of them. Lamar can't win the big one. Lamar can't win in the playoffs. Well, he's done two of that now in one game. So that's fantastic to see and hear. And you got to give major props to the defense, because the defense, you know, they brought Calais Campbell in to make sure that when they went up against the Titans, that they were going to keep Derrick Henry in check. And Derrick Henry, he did not have a game on Sunday. That was not, they were expecting more Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry was kept in check. So this was an all around win for the Ravens. Even look at Hollywood Brown, who is, the spotlight's been on him this year and how he hasn't really had that great of a sophomore season. And he had a fantastic game. He really is showing up. So this is what you need when you're in the playoffs. You need that full team win if you want to go far. And this Ravens team showed. I mean, everybody's healthy. Everybody's playing to their potential. Everything is clicking right now, which is exactly what you want to see.
And so we talked about, right? They're peaking at the right time versus 2019, where they peaked way too early because they won all those games in a row and rested starters at the end of the year, right? It's funny, man. The road to success with the Ravens in the playoffs is winning the wild card and playing in the wild card round and on the road.
Yeah.
The Ravens, dude, there's so much to unpack here with this playing win.
Playing on the road, too. This was John Harbaugh's, I believe this was his eighth road playoff win, the most in NFL history.
Yes, he passed Tom Landry, with seven.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it was the Ravens' 16th playoff victory as a team since the year 2000. That is second most to the New England Patriots, which if I looked, they have like 30 or 31, because I looked at Tom Brady's stats. Obviously, we know Tom Brady and the Buccaneers won this past weekend, too. If you look online, his playoff win record was at 31. So I don't know if that 31 was with the Bucs this year or not. But anyway, you know, that's something unprecedented. So for all the, you know, we haven't been there in 6 years. We got our playoff win number 16. Dude, like, not only that, but it tips the cap to the Ravens. You know, it's unfortunate that we haven't had many home games in the playoffs. When we did, obviously we've won some and lost some. Obviously last year we lost, you know, in a heartbreaker. Obviously it's in the past, but it just shows you the testament as the Ravens love that road. That's more difficult, right? And when we say road, obviously pun intended, you know, it's, you know, they want to go on the road. They want to be the enemy. They want to just show you. And that's a testament to the Ravens mantra, man. You know, they don't care when and where they're going to play you. You know, back when in 2000, when the defense was so nasty, that was their MO, man. It's like, we don't care. We'll meet you in the alley. We're going to beat you. We'll play football in the street, the alley, the backyard, the stadiums. Doesn't matter. Line up. Let's play. So not only that, but the way the game started, you had to just – we were all there, right? Here we go again.
Right.
You know, the teams matched three and out. The Titans got the ball first. We were all pumped, right? They held them to three and out. All right, let's go. Let's get that 3 or 7 points. Let's get out ahead, get them fast, get them early. And the Ravens sputtered on their own three and out. And then the Titans found their magic. You know, 120 yards in the first quarter. You know, Derrick Henry was a non-factor from the beginning. Obviously, from beginning to end, and we'll touch on that as well. It's a huge storyline. But A.J. Brown, their all-pro receiver, you know, killing us time and time again. The big third down conversion, big play. Titans go down, goal to go. Controversial call, right? Especially the referee, the NFL referee analyst that is always on these programs, right? Now, they always interview these guys during crucial calls and moments in the game. And they're like, and it's always former referees in the game of football. And he agreed with the Ravens Nation. You know, it should have been, it was more or less obvious OPI, offensive pass interference on A.J. Brown. He kind of used his left forearm to shield himself and his create separation from Marlon Humphrey. Again, call it for what it is. Everybody knows and they feel if the Ravens did that, they would have been flags on the field all day long against the Ravens. But hey, the fact is, we know what the outcome was. Ravens won 20-13, and that was it. That was their only touchdown all day. So they scored from the get-go. And you have to give credit to the Ravens, how it started to unravel. You know, not only that, but then, okay, Titans get three. It's 10-0. Lamar throws one of the most awful throws and interceptions of his career. You're like, what are you doing? At first, I kind of was like looking at the play like, why is Boykin? I think it was the Boykin. I was like, why is Boykin just stopping? And then I'm like, okay, well, the throw was so bad, he had to adjust, and then the defender went right to him. So
yeah,
we were all saying, here we go again. And you have to give credit. I know my good friend, Drew Forrester, dude, he put it in perspective. He goes, good thing this isn't decided in the first quarter, because we have plenty. And that's what I looked at my dad. I was watching with some friends of mine, and I looked at him like, look, I know it's not good. I'm sitting on the couch dejected. It's unraveling. But I'm like, look, if I just pretty much looked, if they don't get together in here soon, it is going to be game over. But something was glaring. From that point on, it was all Baltimore Ravens and nothing but. Something was very glaring in the second quarter. The Ravens kind of flipped the narrative and said, you know what, enough's enough. Snuffed out everything the Titans could do. The Titans went from scoring 10 points and amassing 120-something yards. And they showed a graphic during the game in the second quarter. I don't know if they ended this way. If not, I think they ended around even, because I remember Henry getting an 8-yard run. I don't know if it was in the second or third quarter. The Titans at one point late in the second quarter had -7 total offensive yards. -7, Brandon, -7. So, you know, the Ravens kind of said, enough's enough. And then the Ravens kind of flipped it, right? Titans got all the yards and the 10 points in the first quarter. The Ravens stopped them, got all the yards and the points in the second quarter. So drew even. It was 10-10 at halftime. And then obviously the Ravens outscored them 10-3 in the second frame, second half. That was all she wrote, bro. But not only that, but somebody I want to rave about, and it's not that, but it's the group, it's the collective. The whole team obviously gets a game ball. It's a, you know, coaches included. But here's the thing. Lamar gets one for his first playoff win. Not only that, but the defense. I can't begin to gush about this group. I've never seen a runner of Derrick Henry's caliber, a 2,000-yard rusher. He just rushed for 200-something yards by himself the week prior. I know the Ravens, we talked about it, right? 404 yards total themselves, and we alluded to it. The best team that can run the football is going to win the game, probably.
Right.
I don't know about you, but you know, enough said. Ravens amassed 250 yards. Not even a non-factor, but there's this meme going, God bless memes. There's a meme going around on social media after the game. There was a jar and had Derrick Henry's picture in it and said, this is a picture of Derrick Henry in the whole game. It was basically just kept in a jar contained. a lot of announcers and media during the game and then after the math on Monday were kind of like, I've never seen Derrick Henry snuffed out. The Ravens were on him. Like every time he got to the line, he couldn't break through. His longest one was 8 yards. Bro, Lamar Jackson had 96 more yards than a 2,000-yard rusher. And he's a quarterback. That to me just shows, again, I was one of the few in the proud all week. I was like, I'm not scared. It's Derrick Henry. We contained him in 2018 just because he's had a good year and a half. Okay, great. But, you know, it was the same thing with Jamal Lewis, right? Jamal Lewis ran for 2,000 yards himself in 2003, and the Titans beat us in the wild card game at home. And I didn't go back, and it wasn't worth it to go back and look at Jamal Lewis' stats, but obviously the Ravens didn't win the game. So, you know, to me, you got to play the games. And for the Ravens to really turn this around, all collective effort, my gosh, what a performance. But, bro, I can go back and watch that Lamar touchdown run all over again. The dude's a machine. How fast is he?
It was absolutely amazing. I mean, like we have said that, you know, after Lamar had a full season that there was now tape on him and people were going to be able to figure out some of these plays that he has. But he's still got stuff in his back pocket that he can pull out. And that run that he went on, that touchdown was absolutely amazing. Lamar's motivated right now. You can 100% tell this guy is motivated to win. He wants to win. And I don't know if you saw it, but there was a video that came out of a Titans defenseman flipping Lamar off, and Lamar's just like, all right, bet, let's do it.
Yep.
And
we'll save that for later, because we're going to touch on this in a little bit.
Yeah. So Lamar was ready for this game. He wanted this win, and he was showing it off. Now, that interception, that does worry me a little bit looking into the future, and we'll talk about how that might come into a factor against the Bills. Let's stick to this game right now, though. But Lamar is showing everybody that he's the guy. You know, on Good Morning Football, I think it was Monday morning, they were talking about this, how if Lamar would have lost on Sunday, the headline would be, do they renew his contract? Do they keep him around? Is he the guy that they really hoped that would lead this team to another championship? Now that's all different. Now it's how long of a contract extension is he going to get? How much is he going to cost a team? Because after that performance against the Titans, this is Lamar's team, 100%. This is his team going forward. The team is going to be built around him, which they've already kind of done already, but this solidifies it. With that win, he changed everything. So I'm very happy to see that. I'm very excited to see what Lamar does next. But that touchdown was beautiful. It was fantastic. I mean, came out of nowhere, and he just kept moving and going and going and doing what he has to do. Now let's talk a little bit about some of the other stuff that happened that, of course, grabbed plenty of headlines. But let's talk about Lamar leaving the field after the game, not shaking hands, and the Ravens standing on the logo. What were your thoughts on that ending? Because Ed Reed, former Raven and Hall of Famer, said, you know, let's win, but let's win with some class. He didn't like that. So what was your take on the logo and Lamar leaving?
This has been fun because in the moments after the win, it was kind of like really no one was talking about what the Ravens just did, about bottling up Derrick Henry, about actually beating the stinking Titans. It was logo. It was logo, 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 logo. And I'm like, again, Brandon, there's no right or wrong opinion. I haven't even asked you how you felt about it because I really wanted to wait to the show. So I want to hear your perspective. Again, before I answer all this and unpack this one as well, there is no right or wrong answer. This is all opinion based, right? This is all how you feel personally, how Ed Reed is not right or wrong. I hate it. Again, the vice of social media, man, you put one comment out there and everybody jumps on Ed Reed. Oh, you're wrong. You're right. It's his opinion. If it's his obligation, he played for the team. Win with class, remember? And one thing that came to mind before we get to the logo and the shenanigans, remember Ed Reed was part of that kind of stuff. Remember the AFC title game where Brady slid and he kind of almost like put his cleats up into Ed Reed. Right. I mean, we've been a part of this before. This isn't new. You remember the rivalries of the Steelers and the Ravens back in the day. Remember Todd Heap being injured and hobbled and Joey Porter pushing him over. Remember Hines Ward, little cheap shots, even though he's a receiver, Larry Foote, just remember the big hits and the Titanic collisions and the nastiness with that rivalry. And then even the Ravens Titans beforehand, this is a rivalry renewed. This isn't new. We go back to 2000, Eddie George days. Eddie George was a major factor in that. Ray Lewis, they all were like that. The Ravens 2000 defense was nasty. I encourage everybody, go back and watch 2000 America's game, Ravens. It was there was some terms in there used, mean, nasty, brash. The Ravens won with that kind of swagger, saying they were basically punks, thugs. Like, we're going to go into your house. We're going to knock you around with our defense and what you got to say. And there was always this showboat and Ray pointing to his bicep and punk. Ravens has been all about that, and I get Ed Reed, right? I get both sides. My take is I was more than okay with it, and I also point to Harbaugh. Harbaugh wasn't even upset about it when he was interviewed about it. So if the head coach isn't upset about it and he's on record saying that, I'm not saying side with him, but, again, that's my point. If the head coach isn't mad, why y'all get bent out of shape? But that's your prerogative. I really don't care. It doesn't bother me. My take is I thought it was warranted. I thought it was – the last statement, and the Ravens deserve it. I get it, right? We got to turn the other cheek, or you got to be the bigger team. You have to win with class. It's not never eye for an eye, but I actually enjoyed it. And again, football's an emotional game. I never played football. I played basketball and lacrosse in my day, but we get it. Sports is emotional. We've seen fans cry. I cried at Ray Lewis's last game, his last dance. I mean, things happen. We cry when he wins the Super Bowl. We get upset when they lose. Like J.J. Watt said, we're invested. And this points to Richard Sherman's outburst against Crabtree. Remember the NFC title game when he stopped him and he went off on Aaron Andrews' interview. It's an emotional game. And hey, who better lead it than Marcus Peters? Marcus Peters is about that. And I also want to add to that, answer that. It's kind of funny because a lot of people are like, well, Marcus Peters was never that Harbaugh guy. Remember, Harbaugh got rid of those alpha guys.
Right.
Bernard Pollard and all that. And people can change. Right. Harbaugh's had long tenure here and he can change. And I love that. I love the fact that We gave it to him. And you hear Marlon Humphrey and a lot joke about it. Like, we were just celebrating as a team. We just happened to stand on painted grass. Like, what's the big deal? Like, I love the little joking about it, but Lamar leaving, not shaking hands again, what are you going to do? You know, a player flips you off. And it's not only that, but you remember last year, right? Just take the Tennessee Titans current team in the last year, right? 2019, you come into our house, obviously you beat us and all that, but not only that, but after the game, they mock us. Remember Tajay Sharpe at the podium? They trust, woo-woo, and he's interesting. Derrick Henry mocking us there. They come here in November, standing on our shield, arguing with the coach. Coach was saying, hey, that's disrespectful. The players, even Lamar, said they didn't see it till the after the fact. And then they kind of said, okay, they remembered the moment, right? And then it was kind of like, I thought, you've seen it. As soon as Marcus Peters got up, the whole team just rushed. You knew yeah. it was just like it came to them. It wasn't like hesitant. So it was kind of the last statement. And the Ravens don't do this often, right? This was a buildup of multiple things. And then you alluded to the bird, you know, Butler flipping off Lamar. And I remember Lamar scoring a touchdown in November. I got footage of it. Remember when he scored a touchdown at home and he kind of rubbed Butler coming through to celebrate and kind of brushed him. Right. This has been little antics of building up. So I say to these people, you're not wrong in thinking that the logo thing is wrong and all that. And oh, Lamar should be more class in that shake hands and all that. But you have to look at the bits and pieces leading up. There's a lot more to the narrative. And they don't do it often. So I feel like they get a free pass because of the situation, because of the opponent, and it was a release of all that. It was kind of like, ha, you got yours too. And a lot of people I've spoken to are on both sides, right? You know, but the people that are on the side of agreeing with the antics are saying, hey, don't like it, don't do it. And again, with these logos this year, Juju Smith-Schuster doing TikTok videos and he gets his bell rung against the Bengals and they lose. So,
right.
And then he was quoted saying no more logo dancing. So again, everybody says it's sacred, it's disrespectful, it's a sign. But again, I look at it this way. Titans were disrespectful on many occasions. The Ravens were disrespectful on one occasion. So they got the last laugh. So hey, it's all good. And we got the very last laugh, bro, because we won the game 2013 and squashed it. And they're sitting at home and we're playing. But that's my two cents. It was warranted. The Ravens always win the class. I just felt it's an emotional game. And the Ravens acted accordingly to the situation. And I don't think Lamar was classless and walking off. He just wanted to remove himself from the situation. I personally felt like he was being the better person. Like, nah, you know what? Since you're going to be like that, I'm not giving you my time and energy. And that's kind of how I am with toxic things and negativity. It's like, you're going to be like that. I'm not even going to argue with you. I'm just going to ignore you and walk the other way. So that's what he did. So I felt like he actually did the best thing in the situation and just said, you know what? I'm not going to shake hands with people and stuff and that like that. So it is what it is. What's your take on all the situation?
I'm torn. I'll say that. Well, first off, let me say Lamar not shaking hands at the end. Like when Tom Brady did it with Nick Foles, that really annoyed me.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like you were a sore loser at that point. Nick Foles beat you a couple times, beat you in the Super Bowl, beat you this year. You're not going to shake his hand like you should. However, with Lamar, knowing that the one player flipped him off and knowing that you know, it's been a little bit of a rivalry there, then I don't blame Lamar. Like you said, you know, it's toxic, so I'm just going to walk off. I'm not going to acknowledge it. I'm okay with that. The logo dancing, though, as somebody who watches wrestling and who loves Conor McGregor, I thought it was really funny. I thought it really was like
You were taking the entertainment route. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It was entertaining, and when these two teams lock up again, you know, the Ravens are going to have to prove again, like they are the dominant team. So, I mean,
see, that's the wrestling fan in you. You're following the storylines.
Right. So like, the wrestler in me, like, I love it. Like, you know, it's that old time DX type of disrespect. However, as like a 35 year old with God kids, like, it's almost like they did this to us. Two wrongs don't make a right. Don't do that. So like, if Marcus Peter would have gotten the touch or gotten the interception and then ran across the logo and that was it, then I probably would have been fine with it with both parts. But like, I liked Patrick Queen waving to the crowd and waving to the cameras on the logo. I didn't like, I think it was number 53 who was like repeatedly stomped. Yeah. I didn't like him stomping on the logo multiple times. That I thought was a little too much. Like, it was almost over the line, but I'm torn. Like, I watching it live, I was like, yeah, let's do it. We got him back. But then afterwards, especially seeing, like, Ed Reed win with class, I'm like, you know, they probably should have been the bigger team and not done something like that. But I get it. Heat of the moment. You know, that was, you know, we talked about it. There's no such thing as a revenge game. But then last week, we're like, come on, you kind of want
I said it all
revenge.
Week in my post, right? Revenge, redemption. I even quoted the definition of redemption. Like, this was his time. This was like, they're not going to be us 3 times in a row, and they didn't. So not only that, but you just listening to your answer, bringing up a point, hearing, and I've soaked in a lot of folks' reactions to this. Someone brought up a great point. How humble and how graceful is Lamar in all his interviews, and how awesome is he? So for him to act like that, you know, it got under his skin. You know, it bothered him.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. He's never like that. You know, he's not that guy. He's not that flashy guy that acts like that. So for him to act out of his character, as we know it from what we see him, we don't know him personally, but come on. We see him in the interviews. We hear how always he's respectful to the reporters and respectful to people. And he's always signing autographs for people. It's almost like when you see Joe on the sidelines on a few blowups, right? Joe's Joe Cool, but then you hear him quoted talking to Cam Cameron on one of the montage videos. We're not going to win Super Bowl playing like this. He's Joe was never afraid to kind of like, it was like, Joe, and then you hear, you know, obviously with cameras being on you, football games, remember the Saints game, you know, he mouthed a few choice potty words to the ref.
Right.
And it's like, Joe Flacco, Joe Cool. Like, so again, it's like, again, it's sports. It's he in a moment. It happens. You know, we've heard Harbaugh do it and having to apologize again. If we'll just put it to bed, if they did it all the time, it'd be one thing. Again, with everything built up in the storylines, as you allude to, I didn't really think about that with the wrestling angles. That's pretty fun. But and I did hear that this past weekend, some people were, especially breaking it down Monday on the local radio shows here in Baltimore, someone did say that too. It's entertainment. We're here to be entertained. They're football players. You know, we always say we're paying for to be entertained. And to hear that angle, that's the first time I heard the whole wrestling storyline angle. So it makes sense, because obviously I'm a big fan too. So, you know, to be continued, we'll see.
I mean, it definitely gives extra whenever these two teams match up again.
It would be no different if it was the Steelers in the first round, right? And they beat us twice this year. We had them. We turned the ball over, let them off the hook. Again, it happens. It's always bulletins of our material. And you remember, not only that, but you remember 2000 when the Ravens finally got their first win in Tennessee? Remember right. Billick holding up Sports Illustrated? Says right here, the Titans are the NFL's best team, but not today. Remember, this has been years in the making, 20-plus years of, you know, wins and losses and build up. And this used to be before Ravens Steelers was birth. This was it. Titans Ravens. And I heard it too from the media and the national media. This might be a new rivalry that just got rebirthed. And hopefully they're going to play every year, because, the NFL schedule makers obviously have something to say about that. But who knows, if they were expanded at 17th game, make it Ravens Titans every year, please. Cause this is going to be awesome. But, it was great to just release that and just celebrate with the team. You know, they didn't go overboard. Hey, you know, we got the last laugh. The Ravens won 20-3 in grand fashion for all the world to see. Before we move on to the Bills, man, I kind of want to add, you know, obviously, you know, there's a lot to soak in. Super weekend. There were 6 games this weekend instead of 4. 3 games on each day. It was awesome, right?
Yeah.
Apparently, from what I heard, I didn't know this. I thought it was here to stay. Apparently, it was a 1-year experiment that the NFL is going to see. A lot of the media guys, especially our buddy Peter Schrager and Good Morning Football, right? He was vocal saying, look, it was awesome. It should be here to stay. I thought it went off flawlessly. It was a lot of great football, right? You know, the Bills, the Colts started off. That was a close game. The Rams shocking the Seahawks. You saw that coming. That's the shocker of the weekend. Obviously, Ravens, Titans on Sunday. The Saturday night game, man, Tampa Bay, Washington. You have to tip your cap to Washington. They hung in there. You know, Brady still performing a high level of 43. We're recapping the playoffs. The Saints-Bears, obviously the Saints put it away. The Bears hung around. But I don't know if you saw that. I didn't watch the broadcast, but I saw the highlights of it. Did you watch the Nickelodeon broadcast for the Saints game at all? That was a little different.
I saw the highlights too, but from what I understand, like it definitely, I think it worked because they had Nate Burleson on there and kind of like comparing certain things. Like, this is what this penalty means. This is what this means. You know, this is kind of like when you tell your mom you're gonna wash the dishes, but then you don't, you get in trouble. So like, if the NFL is trying to expand to that younger generation, because a lot of kids aren't playing football anymore because parents are worried about like concussions and stuff, right. But if they don't know about football, this definitely was, I think, a good way to open that up to that younger audience. Because, I mean, I think a lot of us get hooked on football when we're just kids. And, you know, I think a lot of kids aren't getting that right now. So I think that's a brilliant idea. I hope they do more games on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to see. It was kind of fun to watch. Even that, not only that, but there was a false start. And on one of the replays, the little young Sheldon guy that plays young Sheldon, he popped up and explained false start. So it was kind of funny to see that. And not only that, but like the graphics and the slime in the end zone. But not only that, but Sean Payton actually got slimed for real at the end of the game for the celebration. So fun little gimmick the NFL put on. I thought it was pretty cool. I personally wouldn't be a fan of it if it was like the norm. But it's something different. I would definitely watch the highlights of it just to see something like that. But not only that, but to cap it off, we get it, right? A lot of folks in the Sunday night that ended off Brown Steelers, right? Everybody was like, can we have them both lose? Because they're a rival. But I looked at it this way, and how the game started, you had to love it, right? First play of the game, Steelers missed snap, recovered in the end zone by the Browns, a 7-0, like 6 seconds into the game. Steelers are already losing. All these turnovers. Before I know it, it's 28-0 Browns. And, dude, the group chats were lighting it up. I'm like, check on your Steeler friends. Make sure they're okay. Like, it was ridiculous, man. Bro, who saw that coming?
I know, right?
Who saw that coming?
I thought they'd put up some sort of fight.
Exactly, and they didn't. Again, you know, they did. The Browns tried to lose it, and I alluded to it, right? I said, if they do this, this would rival the Falcons' meltdown. Like, you're winning at 20-0 against your arch rival in the game, and you're going to let them come back. And it was only an 11-point win. At one point, the Browns had a 28-point lead, so shout out to them. And Big Ben, dude, what a crazy stat line. He threw it 68 times for 500 yards, had 4 touchdowns, but 4 picks. That was their demise. The Browns did well and cashed it in. But the reason why I really wanted to, you know, give a shout out to these guys as our next opponent, you know, it was awesome, right? The Ravens squash narratives, Lamar squash narratives. But how about this weekend? History was made. We talk about, again, I'm not going to, well, I'm going to stop short and say we're spoiled. Ravens fans are spoiled to a T, right? You know, right. We get mad at the weirdest things, but it's like we have a successful franchise at root. But listen to this, man. We had our first playoff win in 6 years. The Bills had their first playoff win in 25 years. And the Browns won their first playoff game as a franchise in 26 years. So in two teams, quarter of a century turmoil, squash the narrative. They're moving on to a divisional round playoff game. And not only that, before we set the stage to our opponent, the Bills, look at the changing of the guard in the NFL. And this is why this weekend is exciting for a football fan. Not only that, but it might be some last times you see these guys. We talked about it. They could be Led Roethlisberger's last game as a Steeler. So that'll be the last time Big Ben gives us headaches. You know, we get it. We point laughs at him sitting on the bench looking dejected because they lost the game. But, and we knew it, right? We talked about it all year. They're the most phony 11-0 team of all time. They were 12-4, and obviously they got ousted. And I said it, they're the worst 12-4 team of all time. They suck. Like, there's no way. Like, they're not as strong as their record indicates, right? But Parcells always said that you are where your record says you are, or the Steelers weren't 12-4 because they got ran out of the building. I want to bring this up. Look at the AFC and the NFC's landscape in the divisional round. You don't have a quarterback in the AFC starting that's over 26 years old. Right now, Baker Mayfield in the AFC divisional round playoffs in 2020 is the oldest quarterback starting.
Wow.
You have a Patrick Mahomes, you have a Baker Mayfield, you have a Lamar Jackson, and you have a Josh Allen. Think about that. And three of those picks were the first 32 picks in the 2018 draft. Baker all the way from 1 and Lamar at 32. So that's something exciting to talk about, right? It's just something to see. But look at the NFC. With the exception of obviously Jared Goff might start. He's obviously up and coming. He was the first round pick in his draft. So he could be, you know, some of the change in the guard there mixed in with the NFC. But the NFC, who have Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees. Like three Hall of Famers right there. So, and Brees and Brady are going, their teams are going head to head. So one of them is going to survive. It's already been said that this is Brees' last ride, pretty much, like the Luton and Ray Lewis. So again, soak up the moment this weekend, football fans, not only the Ravens game, but every game, because you're going to see the new bloods versus the old bloods in the old guard. And it's something special for the NFL, man. And imagine this. Obviously, I'm going to let my predictions out of bags this playoff time. I feel like the Ravens are going to win, and we'll break it down why against the Bills in the matchup. But just think about – this is my picks for this weekend. Just think about this. Envision a Final Four of the NFL. Mahomes, Lamar, Ravens, Chiefs, another narrative we can probably talk about in a week. And think about if it's Packers, either Packers Saints or Packers Bucks, and having – Rodgers' team versus Brady or Rodgers versus Brees' team. Just imagine those stories. It's special. It's something special here brewing. Then you got Miss Cinderella, the Rams, 7th seed. They got lucky. They backed in, right? You shouldn't even be there. The quarterback's got a broken thumb. There's a lot of storylines in the NFL. For the sake of your entertainment piece, there's nothing short of entertainment in these playoffs, man.
Oh,
not only that, but it's a huge week. We have NHL starting.
That's true, yeah.
And I want to bring this up, and we'll shift gears to Buffalo. But how about this? How fitting is this? We know the Baltimore metro area in Maryland has adopted Washington Capitals as their hockey team because obviously we're in their market. Right. We're all Cats fans, including you, What the Puck podcast and all that. It's great. Listen, go over there, watch it. Listen to it with Brandon and Coach Dan. Not only that, but very fitting. Capitals open against Buffalo on Thursday, and the Ravens play Buffalo this weekend.
I didn't think about that. That's very true.
Storylines.
Yeah.
So is this officially Buffalo Heat Week then?
So the Bills allowed fans at their game. So I wonder if the Buffalo Sabres will allow fans at the arena. I don't know. I haven't looked into that.
Huh. Hey, and seeing this is what sucks about not having fans in special circumstances, because wouldn't that be a great weekend road trip? Go open on the road and see Buffalo play the Caps, and then 2 days later stay up there and see them play the Ravens playing one weekend. That would be a sports weekend to start.
I'd be down for that. That'd be fantastic. Yeah,
it would be. But I actually know fans that were in Tennessee. And moving on from the game, the Ravens played in the front of the most fans this year. That was 14,500 fans in Tennessee this year.
Really? So, I didn't know it was that many. Holy cow.
Yeah, 14,500. So kudos to the Ravens for doing that. I thought that would be a factor that was not even talked about, because with the fans not being in the stands as prevalent as they are, these road teams could easily win because of the cadences, and they can hear things going on, and they don't have to go to the silent counts and the crowd being a factor. So again, I haven't heard that storyline, and we're not going to start another narrative by saying, okay, can Lamar win on the road with fans in the stands? We're not going there. No one is. But just saying, that was an awesome stat that the Ravens, because that was the thing that some people were talking about. Like, well, this is going to be someone did make an underlying statement saying, well, this will be the most fans the Ravens will play off in front of on the road. So for the sake of fans, Buffalo, I think it's keeping the trend. But here they are. We have the number 2 seed Buffalo Saturday night football divisional round of the playoffs. How's this one going to look out, man? What do you think?
I'm very excited for this game. I don't know a ton about Buffalo. I'm going to be honest about that. I don't follow that team very closely, but we have the number 1 and the number 2 offenses in the league taking on each other. So that's going to be a very interesting game to watch. And because of that, I honestly think there's going to be two giant factors on this game. Number 1 is the defense. Which defense is going to be able to withstand that offense the best? You know, the Ravens, they've been able to shut down the run really, really well. We saw that with Derrick Henry this past week. Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, everybody's healthy. So, you know, they were able to shut down the run, which forces the throw. Josh Allen is a fantastic quarterback. He knows how to throw that ball. He threw it, I don't even know how many times this past week. So he can throw the ball. Now that leads us to our secondary, which has been a little banged up this year. You know, Jimmy Smith isn't at 100%. There is no Tavon Young. So there's going to be a little difficulty in the secondary for the Ravens. I do see that coming. But the second factor that we have to put into account here, it's supposed to snow up in Buffalo on Saturday, and this is going to be Saturday night. That is going to be a cold, cold environment to play in. Ken Lamar, who is, you know, a Florida boy, Hollywood Brown, a Florida boy, can they withstand those cold temperatures? That's going to be a big question for me. Those guys, they like Florida. They like the warm weather. Can they withstand that cold temperature and the snow? I think Lamar came to Baltimore and his first season, it was the first time he had seen snow in his life. You know, this happens a lot when you got guys from Florida or, you know, other southern states. It's the first time they see snow when they come to Baltimore. So this is going to be a very fun game to watch as always, but I think it's going to be whoever, what defense plays the best and what the weather does to the game. Those are going to be the two giant factors that we have for this game.
It is going to be a big factor for sure. I mean, the weather always does. You know, if it snows out, it'll be wonderful, right? It'll be a great snow game in Buffalo.
I love a good snow game.
We all do. And it would be, it would give a chase back to the Vikings game. Remember me and you there?
It was a great time.
The craziness that happened in the snow there. So Raiders have been a part of it before. Going back, I think the last crazy snow game in Buffalo was Colts and Bills, fitting enough. That was their last opponent. In that crazy snow game in the white, and obviously the Colts wearing the white jerseys in perspective, it was awesome. So I would love a good snow game. A snow game would obviously be the running game, and the running game nod would definitely be the Ravens buying a far. Not only that, but, you know, coming off again, you know, we talked about it, the Ravens keeping the pedal to the metal. They amassed 250 yards last weekend, right? Not only that, but the Bills are down a player. They're missing their rookie, Zach Moss.
Right.
So he's gone. You know, out for the year, technically out for the playoffs. If they were to make the Super Bowl, he's not playing. He's done. So they have to rely on Devin Singletary to run the football. So that's going to be a huge, huge factor in the Bills' running game. And not only that, but just the mantra of the success that the Ravens had 2 years ago playing the Bills. Remember in 2019, they went up there, played a great game. They won 24-17. It was, again, Marcus Peters being in the mix. It was a Marcus Peters deflection to end the game. So they've seen Josh Allen before, so they can rely on it. They have the one up on him 2 years ago.
Wasn't that the game where Lamar broke a couple legs as well?
That was it, and that was also the game that Hayden Hurst had that long touchdown pass.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
Yeah, that was it. That was Buffalo. So en route to our 12 straight wins, that was one of them in December. So yeah, the weather's a factor. Snow's always a factor. The cold is not really, because obviously the Ravens playing Baltimore, Lamar's used to it by now for 2 years, 3 years going on strong. This is going to be of that. And again, this is why the dominoes had to fall the way it did for the Ravens, right? This is why kind of Ravens Nation, and unfortunately was rooting for the Browns at this point, not the Steelers. You know, going back to the game, obviously it was great to see the Steelers lose versus the Browns to lose that game, but for the sake of, I'd rather save the Chiefs for last. I wouldn't want the Chiefs in the second round. Let's take our time methodically. Let's eliminate these teams and let's win. And I want the Chiefs last. Then we can talk about the narrative to get to Super Bowl. But obviously we had to get to Buffalo first. Help Ravens do that. Again, following the blueprint. What was impressive is we didn't really talk about it much for the Titans game is Greg Roman called a great game. And you, some say, well, Josh, it wasn't great. It was just good, you know, but when I say great, because he did not get away from what the Ravens do, even though they were down 10 points, he didn't think Lamar was Brett Favre and he was calling pass play after pass play after pass play after pass play. That's not what this team's built on. Again, we alluded to it being down the Titans game in the preview, the Ravens in the first bout threw it 59 times in a playoff loss. They threw it 29 times in a loss in November this past year. What did Lamar do this past weekend? Threw it 24 times. So each time they played the Tennessee Titans, the pass attempts went less and less and less, and the Ravens stuck to the script, ran the ball, and they ran for 250 yards. Lamar obviously leading the way with Dobbins. They both got a touchdown. Lamar and Dobbins got a touchdown. Dobbins got to steal it.
And we got to say congrats to J.K. Dobbins, who got the angry run scepter on Good Morning Football this morning.
Thank you for that. I was going to save it to the end, but I'm happy you brought up that we're talking running games. So, yeah, that's the second scepter to come to Baltimore, I think. Tyre Phillips got it the one time with his run on that fumble pickup. And he beat out Kareem Hunt's run with taking some Steelers in and his ride to the end zone. But, yeah, and that was something to see because you really didn't see it live. You had to go back and watch the replay. J.K. Dobbins actually ran over that defender on the Titans to get to the end zone. So, kudos to him. The angry scepter returns back to Baltimore this week. And how fitting. it wasn't even Derrick Henry. It was little J.K. Dobbins with the angry runs. So that was awesome. The segment they do, for all those who don't know it, it's an awesome segment. They usually do it every Tuesday following the weekend's games. It's awesome. But getting back to the Tennessee Buffalo, hey, Ravens going to run right all over them. Again, the Ravens getting back what they do best, playing nasty defense, snuffing out. But Allen's going to be a big test because, dude, this isn't like the Bills before. They got Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
He had a crazy year this year. And a lot of folks are saying, well, that's the only weapon. They still got Josh Allen. Don't discount Cole Beasley. Don't discount Knox, their tight end. Don't discount these guys. These guys can still play. Now, their defense is obviously the weakest part of the team. The Ravens obviously boast a better defense, but you're right. The top offenses are linking up. But obviously, I have to give the nod to the Ravens, who have a better defense to stop and neutralize their offense and slow them down. Josh Allen's going to be a fit, dude. And I alluded to it this past year. Looking at the way – I'm going to break this down to you. Have you ever noticed how Lamar, when he runs, not only is he fast, but he doesn't run or get run to contact or get contacted? I think I've seen Lamar take two big hits since 2018, too.
He's gotten Josh a lot Allen, better when he first got here. Yes. He would take these hits, and I'd be like, dude, what are you doing? You're the QB. Yep. You got stay in the game. But
exactly, right? Exactly. But look at Josh Allen. When I was watching that game against the Colts on Saturday, Josh Allen, like, runs in the middle field like a running back, and he, like, creates contact. Granted, he's a big dude. He's way bigger, more physical than Lamar. He can handle it, but he's still a quarterback. And yeah. I said that, and everybody was like, you know what? That's a good point. And I said, Allen creates the contact. Lamar avoids it. That's the biggest difference. And everybody's like, yeah, that's a great point. I never thought about it like that. I'm like, yeah, because that's the key. Lamar's more smarter, and Allen just goes in there. So look for the Ravens to really neutralize that, snuff out Allen, because Allen, just like Tannehill, could do it too with Derrick Henry backfield. They can run those options with the quarterback. Not of tomorrow's caliber, but this is really just the Ravens continuing what they do best. Suffocating defensive football, running the crap out of the football till it's deflated, and just kicking them in the teeth and not being afraid. And the Ravens, I see this one. I don't see this one being, because I thought the Titans game was going to be a little high, more high scoring than it was. 20-13, predicted 27-10. Looking at this one, it's still going to be, the Ravens are underdogs by 3 in this one. I still think the Ravens come out on top in a great performance and march to the AFC title game against, could be a divisional opponent, and it could be the rival of all rivals, the kryptonite of the Ravens. So I would love nothing more to squash that narrative, but let's get there first. But I think the Ravens can run past the Bills. The Ravens are going to run for over 200 yards. Lamar's going to be more polished as a passer today, and that's something it could be said about narrative. Well, Lamar's not that pure passer yet. He doesn't need to be. The Ravens run the ball through him. He runs the ball himself, and that's who he is. He's not Brett Favre. He's not Joe Montana. He's not Joe Flacco. He's not these guys. He's not going to sit back there and throw it 30 to 40 times and have 5 yards. I mean, we get it. Ben had 4 turnovers, but Big Ben also threw it 68 times for 500 yards and 4 touchdowns and still lost the playoff game. So, you know, you can sling it all you want, but, again, Russell Wilson, throw the football out of the playoffs. There's a lot of throwers of the football that are out of the playoffs right now or didn't even make it. So, I mean, there's a lot of 4,000-yard passers who haven't won a playoff game who didn't even make it this year. Matt Ryan, I don't know if Matt Stafford joined the club because he was oft injured this year, but you get it, right? Be efficient. I really don't care. People can say what they want, and that's their opinion. Well, Lamar can't do this, or he can't throw for 303 touchdowns. I don't care. We won a playoff game where Joe Flacco threw for 34 yards and interception. I mean, because we won with running a defense in that game. So stats are stats. You know, same for your fantasy team, as we always say. At this point, Ravens got to score more points than the Bills at the end of the game to advance. It's playoff time. So I feel like the Ravens have a great shot. If they continue the blueprint of what they have been doing, they're relatively healthy. No one got hurt on Sunday, like Harbaugh alluded to it. Everybody's here. Everybody's back. And just the penalties were clean. Now, they had a couple of questionable calls go against them, but the Ravens didn't have those penalties that kind of stopped the momentum, right? They didn't have the killers. Like, we stopped them on third down, but wait. Or the Ravens got the first down, but wait. There's a holding call. Or, oh, but wait. Something I want to allude to, and I want to bring into the Bills matchup, is the aggressiveness. Going into the Titans game, I know it didn't cost them in the end run, but going back to a scenario there, do you like the aggressiveness of the Ravens being up 4 points, going for it on fourth down, deep in their own territory, instead of kicking the three, they go for 7-point lead, letting your defense go to work? Ultimately, you know what happened. The penalty happened with the Ravens, and they had to kick it anyway, so they got out of Dodge. Do you like that kind of aggressive approach in the playoffs, knowing that it's a win-or-go-home scenario, you got to do everything at all costs, or do you like the safe plays and try to play those points percentages? You always say take the points in the playoffs because they can come back to hurt you, right? And something that was an underlier, Tucker just pushed a 51-yard field goal past the upright. It was like, what, a couple feet? That was uncharacteristic. So that's something that a lot of people aren't talking about in a one-score victory. You just got to be sharper. So there were a few miscues. I'd like to see them get cleaned up here against Buffalo. That was a rare miss by Tucker, because then what, he lines up for a 52-yard field goal and drills it. So I just felt like he were just on a bad angle. He pushed it a little bit, but remains to be seen what the Ravens do with the matchup. But I feel like they got to keep continuing what they do best, following the blueprint of the last month or so of football. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, I think, Tucker missing that field goal, that was odd, but hopefully that was just a one-off, and he came back and was able to, I think, instead of 52 yards, he got a 51-yarder and was able to get that. That's fine. With 4 minutes left in the game and going for it on fourth down, I was okay with it. I was like, all right, look, it's go big or go home at this point. So, you know, you got to get as many points as you can. It was a close game. You know, the Titans never let the Ravens run away with it. So, go for it, you know, and unfortunately, like, the penalty happened and Tucker did have to come out. But yeah, I'm not angry about that at all.
They were going for the knockout punch. Yeah, they were being aggressive. I don't blame them at all for what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. So, but this game, you're confident the Ravens are going to come out with a win. I want to say, I think the Ravens can come out with a win, but this one does scare me. I don't know if I'm 100% there yet to predict that the Ravens can come away with the win. The secondary worries me, because we know that they can shut down the run. Brandon Williams, Calais Campbell, and let's throw Derek Wolfe in there. All three of them have played absolutely fantastic, and they were able to shut one of the best runners, Derek Henry, in the league, one of the best runners in the world, down. But that means Josh Allen, a guy who can throw the ball and likes to throw the ball, is going to have to do that, and he can. And that scares me, because, you know, Marlon Humphrey, he's had a so-so season. He got caught up, and he's been getting a lot of penalties. He's been getting burned a lot. I think that whoever he's going to be covering, they're going to be targeting a lot in this game on Saturday.
And it comes with the territory, right? Being great like that and having the target on your back, you know, you're going to get targeted. If I say that correctly, you get targeted a lot. So, I mean, a lot of folks are saying, why are they picking? They're not picking on Marlon. They're giving him his due. He got paid. Step up. He had his hands full with A.J. Brown. Not to say Marlon's not up to the task of covering these guys. Obviously, the Bills have smaller receivers. Obviously, it's Stephon Diggs. He's not a physical guy like A.J. He's still great. You know, he's still balling out for him. But, that's what's you're going to see on Sunday. You're going to see a Diggs-Marlon matchup have best on best, is what the announcer alluded to. If A.J. Brown versus Marlon, A.J. Brown got the best of him in the first quarter, you hear from the rest of the game. So the Ravens, again, did what we always thought they wouldn't do, make adjustments. They kind of said, no, enough's enough, and we're going to snuff it out. So look for a huge matchup. Stephon Diggs and Marlon Humphrey, very, very much watch that all day long. That's going to be the key to success in the defensive front of the football. Not only that, but the Ravens created pressure at timely situations. They got Tannehill's face against the Titans. Derek Wolfe was back there. There was a stat out there. Pete Schrager, NFL Network, alluded to it. I'm going to give him credit for it. He said 22 different Ravens had tackles on Sunday.
Ooh.
And the Ravens put out 11 at one time, and 22 different Ravens had a tackle. It means they were switching people out, which is crazy. And he said 20 had solos. So that's what the Ravens need to do. They were that suffocating, swarming, organized chaos that we love. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know they're blitzing. You don't know what's going on. And apart from that, the first quarter, they would said enough's enough. And, again, if we see more of that this on Saturday night, the Bills are not going to know what hit them again. So, Ravens, they can certainly march on to the title game very easily if they do the blueprint.
Yeah, I mean, we have counted on the Ravens defense to play an A++ game, and that's what we're going to need on Saturday. We need an A++ game in the snow, in Buffalo, on the road. Honestly, I really do believe this. Whatever defense works harder and makes the quarterback scramble more is the one that's going to win. We kind of saw what happened when Lamar was pressured and he tried to make a play happen, and that interception happened in Tennessee. If Buffalo can get to him quickly and cuts out the lanes where he doesn't have a chance to run and he throws, he's going to make mistakes. So hopefully our defense can scramble Josh Allen a little bit and can force him to make plays that aren't the best. But this one's going to be close. I think this is going to be a close game. I think it might come down to a three-pointer. What do you think? And do you think it's going to be high scoring or a low score?
Mid pack. It's not going to be the 20-13 game we saw, but it's not going to be one of these crazy scores that we've seen this weekend where it's just going to be point scored galore, like the Brown Steelers game where they're just like, you know, scoring at a rapid rate. Who knows, man? You never know, right? I mean, call it predictions and just thoughts, but I see this being a middle of the pack. I see a similar score to what we saw against the Bills and Colts, a 24-27 kind of deal. You know, kind of maybe 20-24, you know, 23-20. And that's the score I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with a crisp 23-20 Ravens win right in the mid-pack for an AFC title appearance, first in Ravens since the Super Bowl year in 2012. And it'll be Lamar's first appearance, and he get a second playoff win and draw even at 2-2. So we're going to further change the narrative. And Baltimore will be a buzz that we get locked into the Final Four of the NFL playoffs. And we'll be one step closer to Tampa Bay. Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine? We're back where we started a year ago. Divisional round. Just different opponent.
That's
true. But we're on the road this time. Can they do it?
I hope the NFL does stick with that wild card weekend format that they did this year. I thought it was a great weekend, and I watched every game. And it
was great to have football all days like that from 1 to 11 p.m. or so at night. For 2 days in a row, and the games in succession didn't miss a beat. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah. Keep going. Keep doing that. I want to see the Ravens come away with a win. It's just going to be a hard fought victory. So I'm going to say 17-14 Ravens.
Ooh.
It's going to be tight. It's going to be rough. And hopefully our defense can show up, can do what they got to do. And hopefully these guys enjoy the snow, because I want to see what they can do. So if they're forced to run, the Ravens can do that. So that's what I want to see. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Absolutely, man. Divisional round, our AFC wild card in our rearview mirror. Divisional round right in front of us. Here we go, baby. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we're always sharing all kinds of fun stuff. Like, we're recording this right now on January 12th, and did you realize that it's been, what, 8 years since the Mile High Miracle today? I mean, we're sharing stats like that with you as well. Anything we find interesting, we are letting you guys know over on Facebook. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, get us ready for the Bills. Take us out the way you always do.
Always is appreciated, man. This is right here in front of us. AFC divisional round. The Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen. Stephon Diggs. What better way to have a second seed opponent right in front of us on the road? Ravens, one of the best road teams in all the NFL in the playoffs. This weekend should be no different, right? Just rewrite the narrative. All the naysayers. And not only that, but just because Lamar squashed narratives in the first game doesn't mean critics will go away. They were really, really quiet this weekend. Oh, but they were doing it during the game in the first quarter. Oh, here we go again. They can't do it. Okay. Now what? They're always going to remain. They're not going away. And They're going to find something new to chirp about. They're going to find a new narrative. Okay. Well, and we get it. If the Ravens were to get past the Bills, I'll say if, when, because obviously you have to have that confidence, right? You got to play like a Raven. You got to know you got to get the end goal in sight, right? You know, when the Ravens beat the Bills, but if the Chiefs can beat the Browns, then there would be another narrative if he even falls into place the Ravens' way. Oh, but can the Ravens beat the Chiefs? They're 0-3. Again, we talked about it. The past is the past. Change the narrative, what's in front of you now. We get what the Ravens' kryptonite is, right? Well, the first one was Lamar couldn't win behind. Lamar couldn't win a playoff game. But there's also 52 other guys on that roster to help Lamar out. Not just about him, but we get it. Even though it is a team sport and team wins, wins still count for individual accolades, like we alluded to, Harbaugh getting his 8th road playoff victory, most all time. Lamar getting his first playoff win. Because it is talked about. A lot of players, their first Super Bowl win, their first this, even though it was a team effort. And it's all about the collective. And the Ravens are nothing short of that this past weekend in Buffalo. They got to bring the heat, bring everybody, kitchen sink, and then some, all at once, all in, all of us. It's what it takes to get to the title game and to march to Championship Sunday with one step closer to being back in Florida in Tampa Bay. And I know they wanted to get down there. Super Bowl was there last year, and the Ravens fell short. And go back to the scene of the crime, which was the first Ravens Super Bowl victory, Tampa, Florida. It's all right there in front of them. Can we do it and get our third? We're en route to the number 3rd championship. How sweet it would be. Lamar's prophecy comes through. You're going to get so wild of me, believe that. We're believing Lamar. We're right behind you. You squash the narratives. You shut them up. You prove this right. You can get it done, my friend. The Ravens, we rally around you. Ravens fans, Ravens Nation, we're rallying around this team. We're going to do it. Circle the wagons in Buffalo. They don't know what's coming next. The Lamar show and this defense, this running game, everybody's going to do it. Baltimore Ravens against Buffalo. AFC title game in the balance. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.